going to believe Him for some miracles right now. We love to do that. Rosie, Martin's wife, called. And, you know, we've been praying for Esther. She's really come a tremendous way. This thing with her eyes, it needs to clear. It's vitreous, hemorrhaging. If it does not clear, it's something in her eyes where the blood comes in and it's clouding and blurring her vision. If it doesn't clear the next few weeks or 4 weeks, she'll have to go into surgery. That's not going to happen. Amen. Well, I'm going to call all of you to come and just stand in just a moment. And I want to put somebody in proxy for her and just lay my hands on your eyes. Rosie also asked concerning two young ladies, an Amber and an Amanda, 6, Amber 6 and Amanda 15, both back in the hospital due to GVHD condition from, and that condition is the body is rejecting the bone marrow transplant. So we want to pray for those two and for their families. And then also a Barbara Nelson from Ocala called, and she's part of the bunch that comes down here occasionally. Barbara's got a 73-year-old sister that's to have thyroid surgery tomorrow. And they understand that that can be a common surgery, but she was wanting a prayer for her healing. So the rest of you may have something you're standing for. So why don't you just come and just stand and let's just pray. Just take these before the Lord. And if you've got something on the urgent list, hallelujah, I'm going to pray for you concerning Esther's eyes. So we're going to believe while she's getting hers, you get yours too. So Father, in Jesus' name, I lay my hands. Boy, there is a real power here. It's amazing. It's a real... Thank you, Jesus. It's almost like when you put those those magnets against each other. The two positives, and it's just like... Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, my faith is let it go both ways at once. She's receiving this through her for Esther. Jesus' name, God, let it go. I'm clearing of the eyes there, the Duke University, and right here in Immokalee, both ways at once, Father. And I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand for Amber and Amanda, you two? And if you've got something else for yourself, you just lift it up right now. He knows about it. And He's going to take care of that. You standing in proxy for them. So, Father, I pray for Amber right now, and I pray for Amanda in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anything in these two as they stand for them, that love of God that is being perfected right now, presently, let it have its way. I command that the bone marrow transplants in both these bodies, in Jesus' name, receive that life. Receive that life. Receive that life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Let that bone marrow begin to produce living cells. This cancer will not return. It cannot kill them. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And for both of these young ladies, Lord, in their life, the things that they believe you for right now, because they're reaching out, you've got access in your authority to do for them exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. Oh, considering the blessings, who'd like to stand in for this last lady? Now, y'all don't fight about it. We're going to have to start drawing straws on who gets to stand in line. Hallelujah, Jesus. And your tooth. So, both of them at once. Jesus. So, for this lady's sister up there in Ocala, yes, Lord, you're doing both things at once. And I command the reconstruction root canal, whatever needs to be done. Pain go. Everything filled in. Jesus' name, we worship you. Thank you for it, Father. I glorify you and worship you. Any other needs represented? Because he's here real strong. If you needed something, I exalt you, Jesus. Okay, so is she born again? Okay, a friend, a best friend. So, you ladies, lay your hand on her. In Jesus' name. Possible removal of every womanly organ. But in Jesus' name, right now, Father, we rebuke any abnormality in the name of Jesus. Whatever's working in this body, Father, we stop it and we reverse it now through the blood of Jesus Christ and all that He paid for us. That price, that penalty's already been paid. She's already suffered one time under this. No need in the second go around. In Jesus' name, receive this life. Receive this life. Receive this life in you, Maria, for this one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, a friend that's having an attack in her body, and it's a flu virus, but a fever that won't go away. So in Jesus' name, this anointing touches the cancer and lives, and it heals the common day cold in the name of Jesus. Receive this for her in the name of Jesus. Right now at this hour, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let Sherry receive this through her body. Yes. Oh, Lord, that is what we're wanting now. And we receive it by faith. And the abundance of it, Lord, the fever ceases. It just ceases now. It just stops. When Sherry checks on her, she'll find out something began to happen right around this time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Whew. Teddy, let me just pray for you. Father, give him that the best job. And if this one's not the right one, then he'll open the right one for you. It's going to work out. So in Jesus' name, we just bless. We open that door. We open that door with you. Because you seem to be a real concern of God's. Not like He's worried about you, but like He's found a new friend. But He's always been yours. And He wants to protect your best interest. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you give each other a great big hug before you're seated? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, whatever this infection is that comes in the eye, the sty, in the name of Jesus, my God. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. And the back, any correction, Lord? My sick at his state. My sick at his state. Worship you. Worship you. Let it go now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, you guys really should get her to sign her autograph now while she's not so well known. So when she hits the circuit like Catherine Kuhlman, you'll be, I knew her. Now I can't even get it. Now I can't even get a backstage pass with her. Hallelujah. We visited another church last week, and the preacher that was preaching called her up, and she showed off well. She showed that she had been trained well at home and at wherever she goes to church at. She came up and laid hands on the sick. Prayed over people, and the guy was pretty amazed. He was pretty amazed, but it was good. He started speaking in tongues a little bit. He said, "Do you ever do this?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." It's like, why, you don't do it all the time? Hallelujah. Well, let's just worship through one more song, and then we'll get over in 1 John for just a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for everyone that's here. And if there was just one, Father, I'd lift my hands and worship You and give You all the praise and all the glory and be just as exceedingly thankful, Lord, because I know that You're the one that's doing all this in us. You're wanting to work a plan that You can work all this through us to the nations. And I worship You, Jesus. I give You all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're exceedingly thankful for the person of the Holy Spirit who has become our own and personal guide into all truth. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thank You for Your Word, because Your Word is the truth. It's the only truth. Everything must be measured by this canon of Scripture, and we worship You and glorify You. Thank You for it, Lord, that You passed this down. You got it through the centuries, and it's in our hands today. God, thank You for it. Thank You for it. Thank You, Lord, from Genesis to Revelations. Thank You, Lord, that we can take this Word and devour it. It's not hid somewhere in a monastery, and we're not persecuted today if we pick it up and read it openly. Father, I thank You for it. Thank You, thank You, thank You. And we just take this opportunity to lift up our nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our Commander-in-Chief. We pray that You'll fill him with the Holy Ghost and men and women around him with the same presence. And Father, all the gainsayers and those who are out after destruction, Lord, we pray that You'll quiet their voices. Lord, we pray that You'll even begin now. Past tense, we already need way beyond even our present, that somebody begin to raise up as a champion for righteousness for this next 4 years that are coming. Father, we don't want to go backwards. We don't want to backslide as a nation. We want to go forward. Help us, Jesus. Raise up that one, we pray. We pray for our men and women overseas in Jesus' name. Send forth Your labors into those dark areas, Lord, to preach the gospel to them and get our military saved. And then pull them, protect them and pull them out of dangerous places, we pray. We ask You now to touch our hearts with Your Word. Help us to go just as far as You take us and no further. But Lord, to just see the absolute vision of where we're headed in You, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Boy, didn't we have a wonderful weekend. What a wonderful day. I was Saturday over with Rex and Marcia for just a little while. And they had a big bikers rally and benefit for somebody. And the main part was that they had all these guys in from all these clubs. You know, we're going to have that one day here, maybe this year. And they weren't the Hell's Angels, but they're kissing cousins. They're just different outlaw groups and different ones. And I asked Rex one time, I said, how many of them's packing? He goes, oh yeah, a bunch of them are. He goes, all this bunch behind me, they got weapons. And it didn't bother me. I enjoyed it. And you know, they're hungry. You can feel that they're looking for something. Parking lot was full of them. So we're not going to frisk them when they come in the door. We just hope we don't have a shootout. But he was able to preach the gospel, really, the way he prayed and presented. And he prayed over all their bikes. And man, it was good. You know, none of them got mad or anything. It was really wonderful. You know, the world is hungry for Jesus Christ. They really are. Sunday was good, wasn't it? Man, do you feel like there's something, And I don't know. I'm not taking this as a poll, because if you didn't, I still do. I'm just asking you if you do. Do you feel like there's something special going on around here? Man. I mean, like something that's moving forward. I can feel it. It feels like it's moving forward. It doesn't feel like it's neutral or going backwards. Thank God. I've seen the times where I just hoped that I could stay in neutral and not go backwards. But man, I feel a forward motion. Thank God for that. I love you and worship you and praise you, Jesus. Once Enrique got done Sunday morning, and he was saying most of everything we've been saying around here for the past few weeks. Matt and I met over here, and we were just going out of the church, and he goes, "Man, this is so good." I said, "Oh my God, it's so good." I said, "When revival?" Or he said, "I don't know, something about when." I said, "No, my God." He said it, or I said it, was like, "No, this is revival." It's like, what day does the clock strike 12 and you say, "Revival's here"? I think it'll just be an emerging process, and it'll just be a continual kind of a growing, inertia, kind of it'll carry a weight of strength, and it'll just keep growing and growing, growing until it gets to a place where then you'll realize, hey, this is what we've been confessing. This is what we've been confessing. But I do know this, at the least, I can feel a doctrine of revival presently. Man, because our eyes are, the eyes of our understanding are getting clearer and clearer and clearer. And where a bunch of groups failed, He's giving us a foundation. And the good part is, you know it's right, because we don't feel like an elitist, under the counter kind of, "Oh, we got something square with God that you don't." Boy, do I ever know. See, if this is just for a select few, and it's just hidden in deep, dark sayings, as Solomon said, and they're dark sayings, all right. But now they've been revealed to the church by the Holy Ghost. But if this was that kind of deal, and if you were a select group, then you'd have to fear the vulnerability of it all, because then you're on some kind of balance beam. And if you got there and nobody else could get there, how do you know you can't fall? And then you're on a balance beam and it's got Wesson oil poured all over it. You don't know if you can stand or not stand, but I'll tell you what. The fact that we know that we didn't come up as a select group, that this is to the entire church, all you got to do is use the same tools and everybody gets there. And before it's over, millions will have it. So it's a wide place. It's no balance beam. I like that part. I think I like that part as much as knowing I get there. If you clawed your way to the top of something and it was just all, if it was just all you could do on a daily basis to maintain it, it'd hardly be worth getting there. I mean, you could enjoy the glory of it for a season. But if you just, if the flesh was going to take you out or that was going to take you out, I think knowing what I'm seeing now more than ever about this is that once you do get to that place, the same principles of character in His Word and everything that was built inside of you by taking all of the inroads and getting there, the Word and confession and fasting and worship and all those things, they not only got you there to the top, but those things will instill something inside of you that He'll use, that you're not in a vulnerable place. You're not in a slippery place. You're not on a balance beam. The joy will be, not only do you have all this, but it'll feel and will be that it will not be able to be lost. You'd have to deliberately, it won't be lost with a sneeze. It won't be lost with a hiccup. It won't be lost with a just in a momentary moment. It was very deliberate and it took a lot to get here. Don't you know it'll take that much and more to walk out of it? Hallelujah. It'll be a wide place. It'll be a strong place. I told Matt the other day, there was something I was saying, and I said, "Man, you know the thing that I'm getting from him now?" He told me the other day, and I was talking to him about the changing of myself and walking into Him and going from glory to glory and some things I'd like to see changed about myself. He said, son, when you get there where I'm taking you right now, He said, what it'll feel like is that you have absolutely nothing to do with it. I said, my God, I knew in a moment what He was saying. What was He saying? He was saying, when I get to where He's taking me in His glory, in that place that James talks about, that complete kind of place where patience is endured and you're perfect as in mature, lacking nothing in your character, and you're standing there. He said, in that place, it'll feel like that you had nothing, that you have presently in that state, nothing to do with it. Like, you don't have to be the one maintaining it. It's being maintained by everything that He placed inside of you. Hallelujah. And that's the glory of it. It's not clawing yourself to a place of revival and then say, oh, well, boy, this is a teeter-totter. We could win. We could not win. We lose today but gain tomorrow. It's a fight every single day. Oh, He'll come. The enemy will come. But as far as the security of the glory that we'll be in, it'll be, as David said, a wide place. You just won't even be able to find the end of it. It's like, oh, I don't feel like I can fall out of this. It's a wide place. Glory to God. That's as wonderful as getting there. That's as wonderful as getting there, because it's a secure place. It's a secure place. Do you think there was ever a moment that Jesus ever went to pray for anyone and He thought, that the thought ever came to Him, I might be taxed out on this miracle stuff. I hit the Father heavy the last several days, and I fed, 5,000 plus yesterday, and all this is, and maybe I'm taxing myself, or maybe I'm taxing the Father, maybe I'm running the bank on this thing. Maybe it never occurred to Him, because the place that He was in was as secure as the miracles that had been taking place. The surrounding environment and what affected His mind was, this will always be. So once you get inside a revival, you won't be fighting to say, can we hold the ground? Can we hold the ground? Can we hold the ground? No. What got you there will keep you there. Glory to God. Isn't it secure? It's Ezekiel's will within a will. It's what fuels itself. It's Isaiah's peace within a peace. King James said, perfect peace. The Hebrew said, shalom, shalom, peace, peace. It's the will within the will. It's what fuels itself. It's, you get in it, and once you get in it, there's no escape, and I like that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Can we hold this ground once we've got it? Oh my God. The good part about it is, you won't even be asking that question no more. You'll forget that thought. Hallelujah. The things that you're striving with right now about your flesh, if you keep persevering, you'll forget even the pursuit of trying to get that done, because it'll all be inside of Him. Glory to God. Worship You, Jesus. I'm having an encounter with revival. I'm speaking out of that place called done. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You and glorify You. Come on and just help me just a moment. I love You and I praise You, Jesus. I love You and worship You. There's none like You. You've exalted Your word above Your name. You're not a man that You can lie. And we thank You that we can have what we say. And You've taught us to continue to say we're in revival. And my God, we're going to have this thing. And I worship You and I glorify You and I exalt You, Jesus. I exalt You, Jesus. There is none like You. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Daddy. You are my Daddy. You are my Papa. I worship You. Though all should forsake me, You'll never forsake me. As David said, though Mom and Dad would forsake me, You still are with me. I worship You and glorify You. I praise and magnify You. There's none like You. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I praise and exalt You. Blessed be Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe one. I worship You. Since we just have such an addiction to worship around here, seems to be the catalyst to take us from one kind of thermal to the next. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And again, as we said, Your word is truth. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your grace. Your grace that You multiply to us now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just look just for a few minutes or for a little bit. In 1 John, we just want to talk about for just a little bit the purification process and what He's doing in us, because He seems to be doing something towards really getting us ready for revival. And even the way He was having me talk a little bit ago, I didn't plan that. But that just seems to be something that He's saying. He's getting us ready for a great outpouring. But John says here in the 3rd chapter, verse 1, but we're going to look at 2 and 3 verses. That's where we're really wanting to get. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. And it really is a tremendous honor to be called a son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it didn't know Him. It knew Him not. But here's part of the reward. Here's the reward. You're looking dead at the reward in verse 2. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. That's right. We're presently, not futuristically. We're right now. Right now, sons and daughters of God. We're His. Beloved, now, presently, we're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But you say, this is wonderful. I know it, but this isn't all. Isn't all. This isn't it. 1 Corinthians 2, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither it is entered into the heart of man. And it was really talking about context. The natural man, which was the unborn again man, he could not fathom. But unto you it's been revealed, but still in all, what God, He said, what God has prepared for them that love Him. But then Paul said this, we're still seeing this whole thing through a glass darkly. Greek says smoky glass. Means you can peer into it, but you sure can't get the crystal look because it's so wonderful. God can't even begin to tell you what's going to be over there. What's going to be here? My God. You say, these are wonderful services. Boy, they sure are. But they're not even a drop in the bucket. He said this, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, now this much we know, whoo, is this worth it? When He, that's our Lord and Master. Thessalonians says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Dead in Christ shall be changed first. They're going to get their glorified body. Then which are alive and remain, we get ours. We get changed. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That much we know. And we don't know all that He is, but we do know this, that when we see Him, we're going to be changed to be like Him. God, thank You, Jesus. Woo! Glory! Glory! If we only had a phantom fathom of that, we'd just shut the service down and go into hysterics till in the morning. We shall be like Him. And every man that has this hope in him, He does what? He purifies Himself even as He is already right now declared by God pure. Glory be to God. He said that if you had this hope, which was the hope of the new nature, of being totally transformed, you are a son of God presently, but you're not what you're going to be. You've got the earnest on it, which is the new nature. He's talking about the reward here. He's talking about the reason why we're going forward. He's talking about the reason why that we'd even assemble and talk on praying in other tongues. Why? Because otherwise, you just accept the fact that you're born again, and that's the ticket to ride. But every man that hath this hope in him continues to walk into Him, purifying himself, even as he's already declared righteous by God. Hallelujah. Purifying. Let's just talk just a moment about the purification process. We know what that is. Most men will go through their whole life, they'll never even know. Even if they get a smidgen of the revelation of the part that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, they really don't understand too much unless they tap into the revelation gift and pray in the Spirit and meditate the Word enough that they know that there's a process that you can go on in. It didn't just stop at salvation. But let's just talk for a moment about the purification process. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to assemble ourselves together and be so ambitious to say, okay, we're going to have this outpouring and we're going to fight for it. It doesn't matter if there's a whole lot more chairs empty than there is full. Let's just talk about, is it worth it, the purification process? Well, we know when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. If you watch sports like some of us guys do, you watch a Super Bowl or a national championship or something, those guys at the end of it, they're standing there. And they'll tell you, this moment in time, see, because a pleasure of a reward, it can't be measured in duration. It's always measured in the high, how exalted your emotions are. And they'll tell you, this was worth my whole life to receive this Super Bowl ring. Or that kid, Chris Leak, when he did this, and he's just a kid, because I'm thinking, my God, my oldest daughter's 2 or 3 years older than him. I'm thinking, does that make me old? It captured his glory in that moment. He's holding that thing up and he's offering it up to God. And he'd tell you, though I didn't read this, but he'd tell you if he told you like the rest of anybody, he'd say, this moment in time equals winning this and being the best of the best, equals all of my victories up through Pop Warner, high school, all of my 4 years of college. It equals every down moment, every time I was booed, every time I was cheered, all of it rolled to one. It can't equal, because I've heard them say it. It can't, all of that. I couldn't imagine how wonderful this moment in time would feel. It's a high. I came back from Georgia one time and Dave was at the hotel here and he was preaching my services and I was gone someplace. I came in and I was babbling. I said, my God, I came back from Brother Coker's and there was an atmosphere there that was prepared for me before I got there. And it was about 2 days of utter amazement. The glory was so strong, I can't remember what I ministered on, but I'd step down and his church is 3-4 times bigger than we are numerically and size-wise. Those crowds would just gather. And it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me. I wasn't taking any of the glory. But I would just begin to walk. And there was a procession of God's glory that went down in front of me. And multitudes were just rolling like grass in the field. They were just... And the power of God was so powerful. And I was like... I was on a high. It was like something I... And I came in and I said, my God. And I wasn't like... I did this. Listen, I was bragging on God, and he said, Bronk. And he was rejoicing with me. But it's happened to him so many times now that he's experienced in it. It's probably one of the greatest times I'd ever had. It was just effortless. And as I walked, it was just, He went in front of me, and it was unexplainable. It was just glory. And I've had some other powerful experiences here and other places, but it was just unprecedented in that sense of the word. But He said, "Bronk, think of this. How wonderful this weekend was." And he said, "Was it the highest you've ever been?" I said, "It's the highest, you know, just being used by God like that. The highest of highs." And he said, "Just think now. If you could feel that pleasure of God, you felt so high in His pleasure because you were an instrument. Think now, the reward is magnified and turned up in volume and in essence thousands of times." That's just a vernacular way of, we can't explain it, but thousands of times over anything that you could experience on this earth. Will it be worth it? My God, those guys, those young kids will say, "This is worth every injury, every fight, every this moment in time." Let me tell you, if in this life we just got there because pleasure and reward cannot be, it can't even be measured in an essence of time. It's in the high part of it. If in this life we fought this thing and gave Him a revival and went in, purified ourselves as in, "Okay, you can come and use me because I'm going to die. I'm going to be, as Paul said, I'm going to be giving myself over to the out resurrection. I'm going to find every day some way to die more." Say, "You're sadistic." No. To me, death is life. It equivocates to life. The more I die, the more I live. Jesus said that. The more you can turn yourself over to me, the more of my life you get. Paul said, he said, "We're not a bunch of sadistic bunch." He said, "Death worketh in us." Death, the death that kills the part of us that doesn't want to be turned over to Him, that kind of death is working in us that the life of Christ may be manifest in us. That's why we want to die. We're not a bunch of sadistic people that want to have, you know, bad things happen to us. Well, if we fought every day and got into that place and we spent a celebration of just 24 hours. Just a 24 hour high. Just a one day from sun up to sundown. And then he said, "Okay, this is over. I gotta send you back," or somehow he concluded it all, and even if he turned us back to dust, everybody'd stand up and say, "The moments that I've spent here tonight and today, the ecstasy and the high, like that football player would say, it was worth a lifetime." But just think, He's going to turn us into eternity. And He said, where there'll be pleasures forevermore. If the absence of torment was the reward, if I didn't get anything and He just said, "Okay, see, prior to my existence, I wasn't like Him, but now I'm like Him in that I'll live forever." But if He said, "This is it," and He just put me on an island somewhere and said, "Okay, you don't get anything, but you don't have to be tormented, but you can just exist." But you know what He's done? That essence of glory that we're going to receive, 10 billion, 10 trillion eternities later, it'll only be getting sweeter and sweeter. He'll say to us, as He said in His Gospels, "Enter into the joys of the Lord prepared for you." Eternities we'll spend with Him. Oh, what's it worth? When we see Him, we'll be like Him. John's trying to get something over to us. He's saying the purification process is worth it. It's worth it. You're going to go to heaven, but Heaven's not going to be there. John saw in the book of Revelation, he said heaven came down, there was a new heaven, and there was a new earth. This earth passed away, and behold, all things became new, and he recreated this one. And he brought all of those saints back with him. He said, well, everybody, yes, everybody from the beginning of time that made it, and all of us too, and all that goes through that 1,000 years, there'll be millions of babies, billions of people that'll be born through that 1,000-year millennial reign. Not from us. We won't be propagating because we'll already be sealed over into Him. But then the end will be a last kind of war. The enemy will be shut up forever. Where's He going to put all those people? Well, one thing, John said, he said there was no more seas. So you know, just everything, the earth that covers, the land that covers this planet, it's just the seas are, you know, by volume, many, many times over. He covers the whole planet now with a land source for all of us to live here. But this is where we'll live. And we'll rule and we'll reign with Him. We'll rule and reign with Him. Now, who are we going to be ruling over? I don't know. I do know, he said in Hebrews, the angels, they're not even going to get to be ruling with us. They'll be around. But there will be a society. What kind of society? Well, first of all, you'll be like Him. Like Him. Well, how's like Him? I can tell you this much. We're looking through that glass darkly, but we know this, that after His resurrection, He had an incredible body. An incredible body. He had a glorified body. This body, it could work in both worlds. It could work in the spirit realm, but just as easily, it could work in the natural realm. This glorified body, He said that we will not be unclothed, found naked. He wasn't talking about physically. He said, we will be covered. What? With another natural body? No. A glorified body. A glorified body. And we know this about His glorified body. When He came back, the Bible says in the Gospels that the disciples all being assembled in a room and the door shut, that He just appeared to them. He just appeared to them. And the thing that He said to them, He said, look, I'm not a spirit. Since a spirit has not flesh and bone, so a glorified body has flesh and bone. And He says, touch Me and see, so you can touch that body. But it has some kind of capacity to be here and to be there. Time travel or travel is no problem for it. And it can step in this realm and it can step over in the other realm. Oh, and the wonderful part about it is it still can eat. It still can eat. He said, look, hand me some of that fish. Give me some of that honeycomb. Let me show you what kind of body I've got. Yeah, I could walk through the wall here. But I can also sit down and eat with you too. What a tremendous body. What a tremendous body. It can be here and then almost at thought, it can be someplace else. Well, this body that we're going to get, it's even better. You know, this one now that we've got, it's under the curse and the penalty of sin. It's got sin working in it. It doesn't have to sin, but it will sin if you let it. That body, no matter what happens, it won't sin. This body that He's going to give us, it's clothing our spirit. We'll have a spirit on the inside of that body, but that body will be even far better than the one that He gave the original Adam. See, it won't have any nature of... Adam's didn't have a nature of sin to start with, but it did have certain appetites that were natural. God put an appetite in there, a man for a woman and a woman for a man, so He could propagate the earth. Jesus said, in that time there will be no reproduction. There won't be any given in marriage or given over. So there won't even be, that body won't even have that kind of desire. It'll be the first time. It'll be the first time ever in that place that the opposite sexes, even born again, will be able to truly look at each other and behold and appreciate each other in the fullness of the essence of who they are in Christ without having to put up any kind of the right kinds of guards to protect yourself. You'll appreciate because you'll see them as the creation of God, and there won't be any urges by anything because that body will not have that in it. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful place. Is this purging process worth the going there? My God. It's a wonderful place. And I like the eating part that body can do. I got to get me one of those. But we'll rule and reign with Him. I do know this. It'll be a society here. It'll be a society here. He said this is where now the new Jerusalem will come down. I don't know how that a four square city sits on because it's 1,200 miles in every direction. It's a cube. It's an amazing city. It's transparent. Probably, because you couldn't have a cube set on a sphere, it'll probably just orbit the earth. But anytime you want to go into it, you can go into it. It'll be the city of the great King. But all the rest of us will be here, and it'll set up some kind of society. There won't be hospitals. There won't be asylums. There'll not be a police force. There won't be no doctors. Nobody will be suing each other. There'll be no lawyers. But we will eat and drink, and we'll spend eternity. See, because He says, you do not know what you shall be, but we do know this. We're going to be like Him. We're going to get one of those bodies. And it's not going to have anything in it that will defile. Glory to God. Is the purification process worth it? Oh, let me tell you how worth it is. Where you're going and what you're going to get. If every day, see, this is the shortest existence of your whole, this part of your existence is the shortest of all your eternity. This short time, if the reward's so wonderful and where we're headed in Him, see, maybe that ruling will be not the ruling kind of class where you look up and somebody bosses you around. But it'll probably be on a reward basis how much you laid your life down. And if you laid your life down in this life, see, there will not be a merit system over there. And some people say, if I can just get in. I know. But listen, you won't spend a day there, but you'll be saying, man, I wish we could do this over. And Pablo goes on and he lays his life down, and I stay where I'm at and I get there. He'll rule over me. But I'll respect Him. And there'll never be a rebellion. There'll never be a rebellion. He'll have that rulership authority. And I'll submit to Him through all eternity. It's just amazing. It's amazing. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like Him. Hallelujah. And say, well, when we get there, we're going to know everything. Oh, no. Millions and millions and millions of years later, you'll still be oohing and aahing over the glory of God. See, all that He's given you. Do you think that this canon of Scripture is His whole mind? He gave you enough to get there. He's not even begin to dabble into His wisdom and His knowledge and all of His infinite glory. When He said in John, in My Father's house are many mansions. Oh, boy, have we, the preachers, have killed that for years. Many mansions. Well, I'm going to have a gold-studded doorknob on my mansion, and I'm going to have crystal chandeliers, and I'm going to have... wasn't even what he was talking about. He said, in my Father's house are many permanent dwelling places. Well, Dave got the revelation on that, and he broke it down, and he broke it down in the Greek. Permanent dwelling places. He said, there's many dwelling places in your Father. But you as a human race, I'm going to go and prepare you one, a place where you all that I've redeemed and everybody that'll come after you, you can go into that place. Watch the Discover Channel. You don't only look as a zoologist and you look at all those animals that we know, thousands and thousands, and then they have those specials of the, they'll have all kind of categories, the 10 most unique kinds of this and this and this, and then you'll sit there and you'll say, my God, I never saw that animal in high school. I never looked at it in a book. And forget about it. Forget about it. Marine biology, they're still looking into stuff and still finding stuff, and you're looking at all these kinds of different fish and animals, and you're saying, my God. You know, Candy sometimes will say to me, or I'll say to her, why in the world did God create that? It's amazing. Because He's a creator. Botany? Forget about it. They're still finding stuff down in different parts of the world that they never knew existed. And He makes all these things, and He makes them so meticulous, and He goes into all this. Now just think. Does it prove John 14:15, in my Father's house are many permanent places? This one that we call Jehovah, He doesn't come from someplace because He's always been. You can't think too long on it because your brain will go into mush and it'll ooze out your ear. But 50 billion trillion Googles, eternities, I don't know what kind of calculate, all those eternities past. You go back 50 trillion million eternities. This creator that they're still finding all these, this botany and marine biology and all, it's still unfolding. And we've been here 6,000. This creator that loves to create, you're going to tell me that He was way back there billions of years ago, shut up in a room, waiting, twiddling His thumbs. The Creator, the one part that's the essence of Him, is He loves to create. Is there other life out there? Oh my God, plenty of it. The universe outside of us is packed with creations that we have no idea. But He's led us in on this one and said, I'll give you the way to get this one and get this one done, and you can come home with me. Will He introduce us to those other creations? Very possibly in that next eternity. Very possibly. But we don't know what we shall be, but we know when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Hallelujah. He didn't even have a way to say that there's a whole bunch more besides you. All He said was many. That was the most possible lowest term vernacular that He could say. There's many dwelling places besides the human world. But I go to prepare you. All I'm concerned about is mine. All I'm telling you is, do we serve a big God or what? What a creator. I wonder if they're out there somewhere preaching about us. This is the shortest creation He's probably got. It's only 6,000 years old. What did He create 50 billion years ago? Or 20,000 years ago? He's not a dormant God. He's continually. But thank God. Thank God, John said to us. He said, when we shall see Him, we'll be like Him. And every man that has this hope of seeing Him and being changed into Him purifieth himself, even as He's pure. Now, what kind of purification is He talking about here? Would you read John over and over, you'll find this. That really, He's not talking about the purification process here. That eliminates, I'll clarify this, this could be included in it. But he's really not talking about you purifying yourself at that point in the things that they could read about you in the morning paper and you'd lose your whole testimony over. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, if you had some dark place inside of you, then this would cover it. It would cover it. But really, he spends a couple of chapters talking about that if you are born again, the continual sinning process part has already stopped. There's another purification process. Aren't you glad that there really, and even if you were over there on the dark side, you've got to know that there's a place in Him that you can come to where you're not always fighting uglies. That you're in a purification process. That what He's really talking about in the next chapter is the glory that He's wanting you to come to is a place in His love. Where His love first, we know this, that we can accept this love because, not because we loved Him. We weren't the one that initiated this, but He loved us. So the purification in this is not, I'm trying to, oh my God, yes. The testimonies are over and over. There's a lot of preachers out there. Do they need to be purified? Oh yes, but that wasn't what John was talking about necessarily at this point. He was talking about a place where sin was no longer an issue of where you said, can I do this or can I do this? Can I live this kind of life? And will it be, if I get caught, will it destroy my testimony? No. He's in a place now where every man that has this hope of the reward purifies himself even as he is pure. What kind of purification? What kind? The kind that God's love begins to work inside of you to the measure that you start judging yourselves over matters of conscience. Just conscience. You may not like, you may still have a partial kind of feeling for this or that and the other, and somebody may, when you hear their name, it may not be the delightsome of your life. But a lot of you have already got to the point where you're lifting those kind of people up before Him. You don't hate those people. They may have caused a wound or a scar at one time, but you're making sure that thing's being healed. And by this time, when John's talking to him, the capacity, the stumbling capacity inside of him, let's put it this way. I know, and don't ask her, because she'll know more than me, but I'm sure not perfect. I know that. There's a long ways to go. The further I go in, the more I see that. But I can testify to you this. I don't believe. I sincerely do not believe. I could, by mistake, incidentally, do something to offend you. But I don't believe inside of me works right now anything that it can actually take thought and premeditate something that'll say something to you to put a dagger or hurt inside of you. There's no axes to grind. There's nothing that I feel like I need to get something across to somebody and squeeze something to make it hurt on the inside of them. There's no and that ought to be a place where the majority of the church, that's not an accelerated place. It is by the standard of most of the world today, the church world. But the purification, every man that has this hope of purifies himself even as he's pure. What? That I need to stop running around on Saturday nights with the prostitutes? My God, that sin question was, that was settled in the first chapter. Every man that has this fellowship, he can't continue to walk in darkness. But he has this hope inside of him. What kind of hope? The hope for the resurrection. And he's going on into God. And he's settled the sin question. And he's saying, oh, I want to go in to eternity with a big fat reward. And so everything that has anything to do with love, how does that love affect you? Chapter 4, he says, herein is love. Verse 10, he says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Whew. No man's seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. That's none other than the new nature. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we know and we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Look, what a qualifying statement. Whew. Hallelujah. If you dwell in him, 16, we know, we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And by this, he says, herein or by this is our love perfected. How? By dwelling in God, staying in him. And in the first chapter he said, if you got to know this, it's our fellowship with him. And we're trying to say you need to have fellowship with him. And he says, if you abide in this chapter and do my commandments. What commandments in particular? All of them? Yes, all of them. But in particular, the commandment that he was talking about is love one another. This is the commandment that I give you, that you should love one another. Dave said he went into a fast years ago and God said, look, he was fasting for revival. This is before he realized what an endurance it was. He said, son, you want the best? Yes, sir. You want revival? Yes. You want to see those blind eyes, those white eyes, those kids open up? Yes, sir. You want to see all the crazies healed and the demoniacs set? Yes, yes, yes. Tell me. He was in a fast. He was out in the woods fasting. He said, walk in my love. Just walk in my love. James says it's a royal law of liberty. It's the royal. It's it. Just walk in my love. He got so excited. He thought he broke his fast. He went home. Rosalie said, I found out all I got to do is just walk in God's love. About 2 weeks later, when everybody was going crazy, fighting and fussing and stabbing him in the back, he said, oh God, can I please just go back into a fast? He found out love. If you could perfect love, Jesus said, all of the commandments hang on this. You can fulfill, you can just sit down, anything you're worried about anything being perfected in you, if you'll love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength, everything. And the other one is likened to it. It's the twin to it. If you'll love your neighbor, this is what causes revival, as yourself. But he talked about that love. He said this, herein is our love made perfect. Is the purification process worth it? Oh my God. So what are we after in this purification process? To be perfected in his love. Well, how so? Herein is our love made perfect. Perfect by what? The previous verse that we dwell in Him. That can be easily said, but it takes a lifetime to live out. But we dwell in Him. But look what it says, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When we stand and we get ready to go into all this, you know what it's going to be predicated on? How much love you walked in. How much of that love was perfected in your life? Because as He is, so are we in this world. And He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love. That's the agape kind of love. Cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. My God, the love that is perfected in us. See, you can't, you weren't the one initiated it. But you've got to know this. His love is perfected first to you. In you. You've got to come. The more you worship Him, the more you stay in His agape, and the more you just glean over that Word and go over that Word and have the koinonia, the fellowship of the beginning part of this epistle, the more you stay in Him, herein is our love made perfect that we dwell in Him, the more you stay in that, the first thing that He'll do, before He can ever convince you to love somebody else, He's got to convince you of how much He loves you. That's the initiation. It's got to be, that love has got to be perfected to you. Then it'll start being perfected in you. You see, not only do we not know what's out there, not only millions of years from now will He be introducing a, you know, this, though I love it and every word of it's His, this is just, this isn't even a chip. He couldn't even begin to tell us all. This, not to demean it, this gets me there. This gets me there. And it'll be a hallmark of heaven. We'll pass each other, not in heaven, but on this earth. Because this is where it'll all be at. It'll be a cashless society. Won't be any, entrepreneurs then. Everybody'll be, you know, Everybody's going to have it all. Be wonderful. But I'll see Homer and I said, man, we overcame, didn't we? Yeah, we overcame. And we'll just sit down and talk about John, 1 John. We'll sit down and talk about all the Friday nights. Terry, you remember where you were at with that camouflage blanket? And you're always telling me, you're freezing me out, Pastor. I'm going to die one day. And we'll just love each other. We haven't even begun. He's telling us in John, we don't know. It's good. We know we're going to be like Him. It's worth the purification process if every day was an uphill. Listen, if every day was an uphill battle. Well, I don't know when I'm going to quit, Pastor, because I'm real discouraged because of the... Listen, if every day, if you can see this, if every day was an uphill battle for 60, 70, 80 years, the moment that you step over into that glory, you'll say, my God, it's all been worth it all. It's all been worth it all. But His love being what He's saying here, every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself of what? Bad, ugly? Hope they don't find out. It'll ruin the church. It'll ruin my testimony. No. What He's talking about here is a purification process that steps over into His love, and you begin to say, okay, now that the sin question's answered, I know I'm not perfect, but any parts of me that now need to get past and go on, it's not a question of, am I going to commit adultery or going to find me in a bar next week? Here's the purification process. I have this hope inside of me. So I'm going to go into your agape and I'm going to learn, first of all, that you're the one. I love you because you first love me. But that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. What great mysteries of your love can I spend the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years of my life going into? Will it perfect? Oh, yes. Because every time I get a revelation, a fresh revelation of how much He loves me, then that which comes to me flows in me to the point that it begins to cast out all fear. And then the next part is, I can love. My God, that's what gets little kids out of wheelchairs. It's that agape. Surely the Spirit of God said to Dave, you want revival? Just perfect love in your life. Just perfect it. Whew. Is that good stuff or what? Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he's already. Okay. So what's my next fast going to be? What's your next going into God or next time or session? What's this year? My God, if it was, listen, we find those that come in sometimes that they've got horrible things. And you got to just rather keep that between Him and them. He'll purify that part. He'll get that out of their life. But by the time John gets to this part, He's talking about a process inside of you that you love Him And fear is at least far enough away from you that you say, hey, I think I'm not only going to make it, I'm going to champion in this thing. My God, not only have I got lying out of my life or talking ugly about people, but my God, you know what? I feel like, you know, the stronger you get, the better you feel, the more your aspirations are. You feel like, hey, I remember 2 years ago, I was just trying to stay saved. My God, it's past that point. I feel more like a champion now, like a racehorse. I'm not only going to come in, I'm wanting to place in this thing now. Before, I was just hoping I'd get out of the starting gate. Then after a while, you start saying, my God, everybody that has this hope begins to purify himself and say, my God, let's go into revival. Glory be to God. You're made for greatness. You're made for greatness. You're made for going into Him. Hallelujah to God. I worship you, Jesus. Why don't you just praise Him? Why don't you just magnify Him? Even when you don't feel free, there's something on this walk that when you get enough of this Word in you, and can't you just feel the Word setting us free? My God. I mean, the Word. You just get enough of this Word in you, even on a bad, real bad hair day, there's something inside of you keeps saying, I'm free. Even when the flesh comes to challenge you and says, that's nothing what Pastor Brock was preaching, but you're nowhere near what he's preaching about. Listen. Listen, you are free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It's all in what He's asking us to do is raising the bar. If you preach to people like they're weak, like what you're not, and you're crippled, and oh, we're going to come in here and did everybody say saved this week? Nobody did. We don't want to see, but did anybody commit adultery? And how many of you wanted to kill somebody? And how many of those lying tongues have been wagging this week? And my God, what kind of bar are you setting? No, we're going into revival. We're going into revival. And even when the flesh comes and tries to rally that, no, that's the standard I'm after. That's the standard I'm at. Hallelujah to God. As He is, so are we in this earth. Glory be to God. Oh, let's huddle together and pray that we stay saved. Oh no, my God, we're going into revival. Jesus. We want to raise the dead. Can I stay out of the bars? I just can't hardly stand it. Well, my God, get saved and come along with us. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't He wonderful? Well, the only other thing is that we need your money. And we need a lot of it. So some of you better get rich, and I mean rich quick. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm free to love. Yeah, I am free to love. Yeah, I'm free to love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know what? Okay, Pastor, you're not going to go in there. I'm not going to preach. You know what that love does? It'll incapacitate the part of you that says, I've been hurt. It's a unnatural, and I mean in a good sense, not unnatural, ugly. It's an unnatural, it didn't come from the natural realm kind of love. Because it doesn't even reason like regular love. Because regular human friendship, phileo, not the eros, erotic love, but the phileo, a friend can hurt a friend and they'll go into inclusion. And it may be years before they'll love again. This love casts out fear that says, okay, I've been hurt. But you know what? I'm not afraid. I'm not going to put my feelings way down deep inside. And the potential is I'm going to be hurt again, but I'm not afraid. Where does that? That's that perfect love that casts out all fear. Well, when can that be limited out? It cannot be limited. How many people will hurt me before I'll go into inclusion again? The more love you walk in, that casts out all fear. I'm so afraid to love again because somebody might slap me down or stab me in the... No, you need to walk into... You don't need to go and have a counseling session. You just need to spend a couple of hours in fellowship with His Word and worship Him. It'll cast out all fear and you'll say, okay, I'm not going into inclusion and I'm not settled. Here's the pretense. I'm not settled on the fact that I'm going to be able to screen every relationship enough anymore to know who might hurt me. Some may get through the screening and still stab me in the back again. But I am not afraid. Glory be to God. I won't shut the door on His agape. I'm not afraid. Glory be to God. Well, I feel like I'm being taxed out. I might never be able to trust anybody else again. Forget about it. You'll be able to trust again because your confirmation of who you can and cannot doesn't based on how many times you've been done in. It's based on His agape. It's an unnatural, good kind of unnatural love. Hallelujah. Can you read this one scripture? Well, why don't you read the scripture? So you're looking at it and I don't have my glasses on.
The Word says that God is love. So in verse 18 where it says, there is no fear in love, if you could say it like this, there is no fear in God, but a perfect God casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in God.
Hallelujah. I want to dwell in Him. None of this is on our own. It's all by Him, His love. You can substitute God and love. They're just, God is love. John said that. Okay, Father, if there's any money in here tonight, get it, Lord. No. Father, I thank You and praise You that You maketh rich, and You addeth no sorrow. And we're more than blessed. I'm just kidding you. What is there an urgent that? No, I'm just kidding you.